Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here, Locked On Big 12 podcast. Joining us today, Stephen Simcox of Locked On Horned Frogs. Today's show is brought to you all by NetSuite from Oracle. Best way to get your business running and humming right now, like recruiting season. Check it out, NetSuite by Oracle. Going to talk some recruiting today with Stephen. That coming up after this.
Big 12, your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Once again, Josh Neighbors here with Stephen Simcox of Locked On Horned Frogs. Stephen, recruiting day, well, signing day, the old one used to be a big deal. Now we've got two of them with the early signing period. So enjoying the craziness while we can, because it could change, but pretty big day in the Big 12. We'll get to all of that here in a second. But the big news, obviously, was the flipping of, I believe it was, what, ESPN's number two recruit, 24/7's number one recruit, Travis Hunter, who decided to commit to, he was committed to Florida State. By all accounts, had a lot of input, or not input, but a lot of effect on recruiting some of Florida State's class. And then Deion Sanders is able to flip him and get him to go to Jackson State. So Deion Sanders had said he had something big coming. This was it. And the internet kind of broke once, at least college football Twitter broke once that happened.
It sure did. I mean, that was like when Jackson State hired Deion, that was the book on it. Like, they're going to get players that they would never get before. But I don't think anybody thought the number one player in the nation, at least by the 247, you know, ranking process, would make that decision. This is also largely influenced by Barstool Sports, who has given him, I believe, you know, like $1 million NIL deal. Of course, that backing all comes from Deion and his involvement with Barstool and his involvement just in the media world. But Deion was a candidate for the TCU job. Like, he got an interview. There were some other Power Five jobs that he's come up for. And I mean, some people think that's a joke. Like, I don't know how great of a coach he actually is, but I know that he can get guys there, and talent acquisition is a big part of the game. So I'm not sure if this is going to be a huge trend, but I think it's intriguing simply because when we first started talking about name, image, and likeness, everybody just sort of thought, okay, well, it's just going to be the rich getting richer, which it might end up long-term being that way. And Texas A&M, they had a great day. I know they're not like – they're not a small school, but they're also not necessarily – the first blue blood you think of in the SEC. They found a way to kind of leverage this with all their oil money into, you know, getting some some kids that they normally wouldn't. So maybe there's some parity that comes from this. I'm curious to see what he does, how much of a spotlight he gets there at Jackson State. Like, I know you can be seen and found anywhere now, but as a corner, I just wonder, like, how often people are going to tune in to watch him play. It's almost – it would almost be better if he was like a QB, you know, but good for him getting a payday, and good for Deion and Jackson State for securing someone who's going to possibly get some more talented players there and really change the culture there.
Yeah. And I've been listening to, you know, several things about this, listening to Cover 3 and Split Zone 2, and just kind of trying to absorb people's thoughts about this. And there are so many different angles. Now, you know, the thing about with the Barstool and the NIL deal, you know, I don't think anything's set in stone yet. But there's several ways they could go about this, right? Barstool could do a tracking series, right? You know, they do a YouTube series about the kid, right? And following him. And also for Barstool, this is big because Barstool, their biggest criticism is that their owner, Dave Portnoy, has said things, and this is a direct quote, that Colin Kaepernick looks like a terrorist, right? That, to me, is racist. You know what's not racist, or at least publicly makes you not look racist, is, you know, helping Deion Sanders secure the biggest recruit in HBCU football history. That is, you know, it's and I'm not trying to knock Barstool for doing it. Like, this is an important moment. This is a big moment for HBCU football. I have doubts about it being recreatable at other places, right? I don't think, you know, I don't think Hugh Jackson, I forgot what job he took, but I don't think Hugh Jackson's going to start pulling people in. And Eddie George has been at Tennessee State for a little bit now. We haven't seen that happen. Deion might be a special case, right? I think Deion, with his, you know, being Deion Sanders, And also, you know, kind of the spotlight he's got. I mean, you watch sports programming on any given day and you're likely to see a Deion Sanders commercial, whether it be, you know, Allstate. I forgot he's involved in, I think he's got shaving cream one too. I'm not sure which one it is. It might be Gillette. But he is, you know, he's very involved. So you're probably going to, and those Allstate commercials with him and Saban are like on every single day. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he has got that appeal. I don't know if this is recreatable. And I'm sure some kind of NIL thing is coming for Travis Hunter down the line. But this is really interesting. Now it kind of brings up the idea of if a coach is tied to a certain, and once again, it's not happened yet. Like, they, you know, it's just been rumored about what Barstool's involvement is going to be and Penn Gaming's involvement is going to be. But it kind of brings up this weird gray area of like, okay, you know, NIL is fine, but what happens if the coach is tied to a certain entity and they're using that with the coach to get people? Is that crossing a line? Do they have to make some kind of legislation about that? Or is it like, you know what, it's all the same anyway. It doesn't matter if he's with the business or the business is in cahoots with him, you know, to get these players, like the Texas NIL situation. That I think is maybe the next step of kind of sorting some of this stuff out.
Yeah, the lack of regulation is eventually going to be an issue. And I mean, that's on the NCAA to a certain extent, because they saw this coming down the tracks for years and
they did nothing
about it and nothing. And they're finally forced into a corner. But yeah, you bring up a good point. Like, we don't really know how this works, how it's going to work, what the, you know, parties are and how interested they are. And also, I mean, you have all these schools now just creating slush funds, essentially. I mean, that's what UT is doing to a certain extent. SMU, I saw they came out with a $1 million, you know, yearly fund that's just going to go back to the students in one way or another. TCU is launching an NIL deal called Think NIL, and it just looks like the rest of them, which is, hey, let's put a bunch of money in a pot and then we'll distribute it kind of evenly to all the players, and maybe that'll be something that can get folks there in recruiting. I think it's good for the student athletes. I just don't know how you oversee it and, you know, how you kind of keep it from getting out of control. And it probably is just going to get out of control. We'll just have to live with the consequences, honestly.
Yeah, the takes have been interesting. I mean, you had Lane Kiffin. We actually talked about it the other night. When you were MIA, no, I'm just kidding. You were on dad duty. We talked about the other night, you know, Lane Kiffin's comments about, well, we just have free agency now. And then we also had Jimbo Fisher on Paul Feinbaum saying, well, there's been, you know, this has been around. This is not new. Like, this is not people acting like this is all new. It's just out in the open now, really, is kind of the big deal now. And it makes people feel it. People are squirming about this right now, which I find really interesting, which is like, you all have known this is going on. You've been fine with it. But as long as it's been hid to you all, and you guys can kind of, you know, tell yourselves, well, there's some of this, but it's not as widespread as we thought. No, this is how it works. Now just people can put this into, you know, funds and NIL funds and to promise people $50K if you're a lineman and you show up. Like, it's made people squirm. Now, you know, I think, like all things, if it's out in the open, we got to find some way to regulate this. If you're going to do it this way, mostly to shut people up, because I'm really tired of hearing people complain about it. But yeah, it's opened up kind of new pathways here. And we'll get into it as we see more things play out. A quick word here from our friends once again at NetSuite. This is it. It's the putt to win the tournament. If you sink it, the championship is yours. But on your backswing, your hat falls over your eyes. Is this how you're running your business? Poor visibility because you're still relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software. To see the full picture, you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 27,000 businesses have already decided to go to NetSuite. And right now, through the end of the year, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind financing program to those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA. Head to netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA for special end-of-year financing at the number one financial system for growing businesses. Once again, netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA. All right, Steven, so let's get some of these Big 12 classes. I'm going to go with, and I know the transfer portal isn't totally set yet, but if you look at the overalls right now, Texas is number four, and this has been a big point. I mentioned this the day, a short video about Quinn Ewers going to Texas, but this this was why that everybody who said fire Sark was totally wrong. Because look, like this was coming, right? They were going to have a good recruiting class. And also, you know, I'd mentioned this, and I also think Brian Davis from the Austin American Statesman had this too. But even before the day really got going yesterday, they had 10 kids that are four plus star recruits that were either offensive line, defensive line, or edge rushers. You know what Texas' problem was? The defensive line didn't play particularly well. Their offensive line faded late. That's what they had to address, and they did. And I think now, you know, we have seen the story before, right? But the next question is, all right, do you have a staff in place to go out and develop these guys?
We've seen the story before, and I get, like, people are making a lot of jokes, and people will make jokes about Texas until they actually prove it, and that's all fine and fair. Like, I'm not going to stump for UT. I enjoy that they've underachieved as well. But I will say, like, the getting guys up front is the big key to me, and they had to pay for it. Like, they're doing this horns with heart for their offensive linemen, which is going to apparently net these guys about $50,000 a year. But having five-star O-linemen and four-star O-linemen like Kelvin Banks, the kid from Houston, Neto, the young man from Allen, who's a four-star O-lineman, having guys on the defense, like there's a lot of myths about SEC football, I think, in its supremacy. But one that I do feel like is just unequivocally true is they are better up front than anybody else. I mean, maybe the Big Ten, like the Big Ten has some teams that have a really good offensive line tradition and can always run the football. But you look at the offenses that Sark coordinated at Alabama, like so much of what they were doing predicated on the fact that they could run, you know, double moves and long developing routes with these wide receivers because the quarterback had time to just sit in the pocket and pick defenses apart. And Texas hasn't had that in the past. You also got a really good running back with Bijan Robinson. Now, he'll only be there for one more year. I don't know how much they'll be able to get these young guys involved in that process. But you have a quarterback who at least by – you know, the rankings by the projection standards is super, super talented. If you give him time to throw and he can be even better and live up to his potential, then, yeah, I think UT can be scary. Like, they have to do it. They have to develop their talent. But I feel like if you continue to recruit like this, then you really have to screw things up. Like, if they can't find out a way to get this type of talent on both sides of the ball up front, to at least a competent kind of like level where you should beat the teams. Because the issue with Texas, Josh, is like Ohio State and, you know, Florida when they're rolling or Alabama or Georgia, like the talent you get there, and this should be the same for Texas too, you should win just 8 or 9 games based on that alone. Like you should be able to just roll in and beat teams that – you know, don't recruit at that level just based on that fact. And then the other 3 or 4 games a year, whether it's that you play poorly and, you know, you have to find a way to win, or the games against Oklahoma, or, you know, when you move to the SEC, games against Alabama and some other teams in the SEC West, that's when the coaching needs to show up.
Yeah.
But Texas hasn't had that. Like Texas has been sitting in, you know, 5-7 or 6-6 land where they're still losing the games they shouldn't lose. So even if they can do that, that would be a step up. But I like what they're doing, and it's they always win the offseason, but this does feel different to me, as much as it kind of pains me to say it. Like, it feels like they're building something.
Yes, it is. And, like, I think the difference here is, like, they've got – I mean, I know people really did kind of like the last set of coordinators. People really like Mike Yurcich too. I think especially from his time, you know, he had a really good run at Oklahoma State there, and now I think people, at least with Sean Clifford, kind of enjoyed the year he had at Penn State too. But, you know, to me, it like Sark is a really good coach. Like we know he is a good coach. You mentioned it too. The thing about the Alabama team was that, you know, they could run the ball also. Like they had the option because it felt like Bijan Robinson was getting a lot of his work done in the first half of games this year. And it felt like they were saying, oh, no, you know, we're getting a lot of 2nd and 8, 3rd and 7s. We got to throw the football. We got, you know, and the reason why is they weren't getting as good of a push up front. They weren't really, you know, making as many adjustments, or teams were adjusting to them and they weren't doing a whole lot to counter. And now I think when you continue to build on this personnel, like this is what Sark was talking about when he said we might have 30 some new guys in this year. It's because that last group of players and Sark didn't really, they didn't mesh well. Now, the big thing is now, okay, there's going to stop being excuses. Also, this group of players has had a chance that's currently there, has had a chance to get their ass out of town if they want to, right? And so now the guys that are left are ostensibly guys that want to be playing for Steve Sarkisian after a year of having him being, you know, being the coach there, a year of having them being coached by him. So those are the interesting factors when it comes to Steve Sarkisian and kind of how this thing looks moving forward. But I think you're right on all of that. The lines are where they have to win. And yeah, you're right. The difference between 8-9 wins and 10-11 is coaching, right? You got to coach yourself up to win that extra next set of games. I want to ask you about some of these other more towards the top classes. Brent Venables does a great job of salvaging that Oklahoma class. I think the big question for them is Caleb Williams, right? Does Caleb Williams end up staying or does he go? That is the next domino to drop. But I will say, in terms of coordinator hires, in terms of being able to salvage a top 10 recruiting class, according to 24/7 Sports, Brent Venables doing a good job considering the circumstances.
He is, and I think, you know, the thing with BV is going to be, and I saw some Oklahoma fans excited about this right now, like, can you recruit both sides of the ball? I feel like Alex Grinch did a pretty good job kind of making it work with the guys he had. But, okay, like, we know at OU, under Lincoln Riley, they could get wide receivers, right? Like, they were going to get 4- and 5-star wide receivers. They were going to get good quarterbacks one way or the other, whether it be through the high school recruiting or through the transfer portal. Now, can you start getting defensive linemen, linebackers who can, you know, run the field, make things happen? But overall, I felt like you did a good job. I mean, they end up 10th, I think, in the 247 rankings overall. You know, they were sitting in, like, the 50s at one point because they had so many guys decommit immediately after Lincoln left. So they scrambled really well, and they got the guys they needed. They flipped some dudes from Clemson. They prioritized well and got it done, and we'll see if they have any more surprises between now and February. But it's going to be so strange, like, seeing what the identity of that team is now. And you're totally right. Like, the Caleb Williams domino is the biggest thing to fall. Can they get him to stick around? But, I mean, is OU immediately going to be – are they going to slow things down some? Like, Jeff Lebby's the OC, so you would think not. But what does this team look like when the fall rolls around? That'll be the intriguing thing to me, is kind of if they're more physical, if they're more hard-nosed, or if we see more of the – elite skill talents that they've thrown out there in the past.
I've got to mention this on Texas. Dan Drayton, running backs coach for them, is going to take the Temple job. So pretty rare you have a 5-7 season, and you also get to have a coaching tree start being built for Sark, which is interesting. At least Texas version of Sark is going to have a coaching tree built. So good luck to Dan Drayton as he heads to Philadelphia to coach Temple. All right, quick word from our sponsors here before we look at some other classes. Today's show is brought to you by our friends at Boost Mobile. You listen to podcasts for the power of knowledge. You switch to Boost Mobile for the power of saving money. Because with Boost, you get the power of a free 5G phone, so you can listen to all the latest podcast episodes like the Locked On Horned Frogs and Locked On Big 12 podcast. The power of 3 unlimited data lines for $30 a month per line, so your family can harness all that brain power as well, and the power of one of America's largest 5G networks, so you can do everything you want to do at the speed of 5G. Switch to Boost Mobile and find out about all of these things right now. Get a free Samsung Galaxy A32 5G when you switch to one of America's largest 5G networks. More power to save. Boost Mobile, free phone limited to new customers, 1 per line. Additional restrictions apply. Offers and coverage not available everywhere or for all phones and networks. See boostmobile.com for more details. Today's show is also brought to you by our friends at betonline.ag. BetOnline is the best place to get on all of the sports action right now. It's the number one spot, once again, for all your sports action this bowl season. They've got football, basketball, baseball futures, Formula One futures now the season's over, boxing, UFC, Vegas casino games. So don't wait to take advantage of our promo code right now. You go to betonline.ag, you sign up, it's free to do. Use that promo code Locked On, LOCKEDON, Locked On, and receive a 50% deposit bonus upon your first deposit. Once again, promo code Locked On at betonline.ag. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. Couple of really interesting classes in the Big 12. We talked about Oklahoma State the other day with Eli Letterman here on this channel. West Virginia and Iowa State also post top 30 classes. Baylor is top 40. And, you know, quick note on Baylor here, Stephen. Like, top 40 class, it's fine. It, you know, people might say, oh, I just won a Big 12 championship. Like, you kind of see those dividends next season. But also, it's one of these weird things where you need to make sure you play well next season, too, to kind of uphold the result, because these kids could flip. If you're like, oh, if you suck, if you just outright suck next year, like, that kind of says, you know, oh, wow. You were behind the eight ball because you were wooing – you had to woo kids with your results this year, coming off the 2-7, whatever it was, 2-7 season previously. Now you're in the catbird seat saying we're a Big 12 champion. You kind of got to uphold those results in some way, shape, or form to net next season on recruiting.
You do. And Baylor's had a really interesting kind of few years recruiting wise. So Matt Rhule was like really, well, I think part of this too is Matt Rhule was looking for another job. Like
he was also quite honest apparently about when he was doing this, which I appreciate. I do appreciate that.
Yes. He was honest with recruits about, hey, I'm not going to be here forever. But anyway, like his recruiting philosophy seemed to very much be like, I'm going to look for guys with NFL measurables. That maybe not everybody else is on. Like, I'm not going to waste my time trying to win battles against UT. So their rankings were pretty low. And then the Aranda staff, like, they were on fire his first offseason before they started playing games. And then they lost a lot of those guys because, as you said, like, they finished 2-7. The season kind of fell apart for them. So, yeah, I think you'll see the dividends next year. And they don't have, like, now that McGuire's left too, they don't really have anybody on that staff that's just like a all-time recruiter. Like, they have good recruiters, but not anybody that's really known for that specifically. So I think they might always be, as long as Coach Rand is there, unless he hires some people that sort of fit this mold more, they might always be a team that kind of works on evaluation talent, and development. Talent eval more than like, oh, let's go get this, you know, four-star from wherever. But – I feel like their pitch is going to be a lot better with the fact that, you know, they won a Big 12 title. I feel like we'll get some sort of announcement about Dave Aranda and a contract extension in the coming weeks. I saw Mac Rhodes talking about that. They're still working out the paperwork. That's getting done. So all those things will be helpful when they hit the recruiting trail for 2023.
Yeah, and what's interesting is, I mean, they've got a quarterback situation now in which they really actually don't have to go and get a – well, it's always nice to have something back, you know, something back there. You never know what's going to happen. But, like, they've got both Chapin and Bohannon. Now, if they keep both of them, not sure, but they should feel – they feel pretty confident in that. And, I mean, the thing on offense, like, we saw it this year, how awful – they're. And I'm sorry, but they were awful on the offensive line last year. And guess what? Bringing over Eric Mateos really did help. And then Jeff Grimes, too. I mean, I think – their offensive line performance, we can all agree that they're not probably as bad as they were last year and not as good as they were this year. They're somewhere in the middle. But the fact they were able to elevate that performance, it shows you what you're talking about with that talent development. And the number one, you know, the guy in their class, in this class at least, Armani Winfield, is an offensive lineman. A wide receiver there. They've got the two of the top – one of the top three guys is an offensive lineman. And then their second guy is an edge rusher. So trying to build on the lines – something they can do pretty well. But, yeah, they can also get high-level talent too. I mean, we've seen some of their wide receivers and whatnot do pretty well. All right, so down the line here, let's talk about TCU. They went with the strategy of firing their coach, Gary Patterson, to get Sonny Dykes, and then he comes in and they weren't able – like, it was a done deal, but they weren't able to get him in as soon as they wanted to because, I guess, you know, his – where he was positioned in terms of the conference race, or maybe him still trying to leverage more money, or also TCU maybe not being 110% set on him, saying, hey, he's, you know, we know we can get Sonny. Let's kind of look elsewhere. I forget what day they announced him as the head coach. What day was it?
It was the Monday after the season was over. So
they ended up
early December,
which is a problem because they end up having a transition class.
Yeah.
And that is not where you want to be. Like, Texas Tech kind of nailed it. So Texas Tech, it's 20 plus commits in this upcoming class. They've got a really nice head start on 2023 as well with Joey McGuire. And now you're seeing kind of the flip side. Okay, if you don't get the guy in immediately for whatever reason, you can be behind the eight ball. So that's kind of where I see TC right now. Is my read correct?
Yeah, I think that's fair. So I feel like the staff did a good job with the time they had. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of their class is honestly SMU guys. Like, they're the big crown jewel of this class is Jordan Hudson, who was committed to SMU for a long time. He's a wide receiver from Garland, a four-star talent. His teammate Chance Biddle, a four-star mm-hmm. safety, also from Garland, also a one-time SMU commit. And they're able to hold on to a few of the guys that were committed under Gary Patterson, like Major Everhart. And then they added some names like Josh Hoover, a quarterback from Rockwall Heath. But all in all, they signed nine people yesterday. So they're 61st in the nation. They're ninth in the Big 12. Now, Sonny Dykes said in his press conference, now whether this is spin doctor or real, I don't know. But he said that they could have signed like 25 kids, but they took a more deliberate approach because, you know, they just wanted to make sure they have the right guys. I don't know if that's just PR talk or if that's real. But the big flip for me, if you want to talk about the class, is they got Dominic Williams, who is a 6'2", 325-pound defensive tackle from California. Mm. He was committed to Cal. And this is the biggest piece of the class to me, not because he's the highest-rated guy, but they're moving to a 3-3-5 scheme with Joe Gillespie. And as of right now, like, I don't know who their nose tackle would be. Like, this dude might be first on the depth chart. I don't think he will be when fall camp starts. But they don't really have anybody with this body type. Like, you need a nose guard that takes space and can take on double teams. And their DTs are kind of small and undersized. So they need players like this, and that was a good pickup. Sonny Dykes also said yesterday that they're looking to take in 20 transfers. So I think that's going to be how they make up for this class. And they use the transfer portal.
Kids.
They use the transfer portal really well at SMU. Like, that was what they did. But it was a much easier pitch at SMU because they took in guys that were mostly from Texas that washed out at Power 5 programs. So it was like, oh, okay, you know, it didn't work out for you at Texas. It didn't work out for you at Oklahoma. It's okay. Come home. Come back to Dallas. You can play right away. You know, we have an exciting offense here. We'll get you involved. And so that was where a lot of their talent came from. You know, you saw Shane Buechele. You saw Tanner Mordecai. Like, dudes who couldn't crack the starting lineup somewhere else coming to SMU. That's not going to work, I don't think, at a Power 5 level. So they'll have to go with a different type of player. But, yeah, they're looking to fill in with the transfer portal. I think the 2023 class will be much better. I mean, they have invested in recruiting, but they had 2 weeks, and it didn't really pan out like they wanted it to. So, you know, that's what you have to live with. And now you have to go make up for it and try to fill a lot of roster holes in the portal because you just don't have the bodies in this high school class.
Right, and Terrence Cooks is a guy going to get his transfer coming over from Texas. Now, I will say one thing. That is a big feather in Sonny Dykes' cap, and you mentioned it, his ability to kind of poach talent from elsewhere. So I think that's where you're thinking about portal guys they can get in and kind of build that way. So that's what you're looking at. But, you know, everybody's talked about this year, like, you know, how many guys are in the portal and how competitive. I mean, there are a lot of teams that need people. I know it's not going to be, you know, not all 1,000 guys are going to get spots, right? But there are a lot of teams that need guys. And I think, you know, TC is going to be one of those teams that's going to be very active in that space. Now, the big question is, are they going to continue to be one of those teams that's really active in that space? You know, does their class next year have, because I promise you, they did not, I mean, it was not a situation where they wanted to sign 25. Like, if they could have signed those kids, they would have signed them, right? That's how stuff works. There are some people where, you know, I believe Billy Napier, when he said that, right, he talked about, hey, this is not going to be a class. He said ahead of time, this is not going to be a class. We're signing a ton of dudes. We're just going to give you guys a heads up now. We're going to make sure we get our kind of player in here. Did Sonny make any kind of claim like that before or ahead of time or anything like that?
No, not necessarily. The funny thing about Sonny and his staff is, so, like, Rashad Samples, their running backs coach and assistant head coach, like, he is a recruiter. That is what he does. Like, that's why he's 26 years old, I believe. And the reason he's risen in the ranks so quickly is because he is a great recruiter. And then they brought in Brian Carrington, who was on the Texas staff when Tom Herman was there. and his job's recruiting. So they're investing in this. And that was sort of their reputation at SMU. But like, if you look at SMU's classes for at the, you know, the high school level, like who they brought in, the numbers weren't fantastic. Now you're somewhat limited at SMU, but they really became a transfer portal school. So I don't know how they kind of shift that at TCU. But no, I mean, he said, you know, he just said recruiting was all about relationships. That's basically all he said. He didn't come out with this statement until yesterday that they could have gone and gotten 20 guys, which I guess they could have, right? Like, they could have just signed a bunch of high school kids from the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. But they claim they're more deliberate about it. And I also think that some dudes just simply didn't flip on them. Like, they lost some kids that were committed under Gary Patterson that I feel like they thought were pretty solid, that either left for Texas Tech or, you know, in Cade McConnell's case, an offensive lineman, he left for Minnesota. Like, they just lost some battles that they thought they were probably going to win, and then you end up with a smaller class.
Yeah, that is how that happens. Anything else, Stephen, from yesterday that it just kind of caught your eye? A whole lot of kids picking up hats, you know, throwing the wrong hats aside.
Okay, so I don't know a lot about the story. I need to look more into it, but I saw Stadium was doing like a interview. They interviewed a lot of prospects yesterday and were having guys make decisions. And one kid got up there and did an interview and then told everybody that he wasn't making a decision until February. And apparently the deal was sponsored by Takis. So he just held up a bag of like Takis hot fries. And like, that was his contribution.
It was the press conference to let him know that he's going to have another press conference.
Yeah. I like it. I mean, so yeah, recruiting, like I know it's really important and I pay attention to TCU recruiting closely because part of my job. But man, I just like top five lists and top 10 lists. I can't.
They're kids, man. They're kids. Like it's just so much. And here's the thing. It's like, look, I always mention this. I said it before to the episode the other day with Eli Letterman. I said, look, all you fans out there. All right. These are kids. This is their moment in the sun. Once it's over, they are now another player, right? They are now 14 or 84 or 51. That's who they are. This is their moment to be special, to be courted. They will not always get the decision right. They might not always pick the right place. So if a kid goes to where and doesn't play, you should not be on Twitter being like, yo, 17-year-old's not playing. You know, you should have come. Like, don't do that. Like, just let these kids have their day. It's going to be okay. Like, we obsess over this kind of stuff. It is important. It is a future of your program. But ultimately, a lot of this does come to end for a majority of schools. Ultimately, what this comes down to is how good is your coach at evaluating talent and then coaching them up. So for most of us, that's how it works. And if you're a fan of one of those schools where it's not how it works and it's about that top tier guys, all right, don't be angry. A guy went somewhere and didn't pick your school. It's not personal. You know, everybody, just it's fine. It'll be okay. All right, Stephen, where can people find you and your work?
I'm at SimcoxStephen on Twitter. The show is at LockedOnTCU. I tried to put out some fun facts yesterday about the commits, when they committed. I sort of like quote tweeted stuff from the TCU football account. So if you want to check that on the Locked On TCU account, you can. And then Locked On Horned Frogs is wherever you get your podcasts.
Awesome. You can find me at @JoshNeighbors_. You can find the show at @LOBig12, wherever you guys get your podcasts, and on YouTube. Till next time, my friends, as always, stay safe.